Those of you who have not been here, we're in the middle of a second series that was compounded from a first series. The first one was The Right Hand of God, and we've taught about 25 messages on that. The last two on the Melchizedek government, we've gone into the history all the way back from the time Melchizedek blessed Abraham and what happened there. And that caused kings to be coming out of his loins, and we trace that kingly anointing through Caleb, through David, through Solomon, all the way to Tyre, all the way to Babylon, and we ended it Thursday night, really right there in Babylon with Cyrus, and that was the second order of the kingly anointing. So we're going to try to get all the way into the New Testament with it. We're doing a big loop, and we're going to take it into the right hand of God. Amen? So we're going to do that today. Where I want to begin, let's look at just for a moment. I want to look at Zechariah chapter 4. I just want to look at the Zerubbabel, Joshua's government right there, because that was the next great one after Solomon. God called them out of Babylon. They're in Babylon. Zerubbabel is the king. Joshua is the high priest. And God's bringing them out of Babylon. That's where the church is right now. It's under a Babylonian system, but God's government's coming in, both his kingly government and his priestly government. He's bringing the people out of Babylon. So this is where we are right here. If you want to know about that, most of Isaiah chapter 40 on through 65, those 25 chapters are dealing with prophetic promise of coming out. And if you're feel like you're stuck, like in the wilderness, those are the chapters you need to meditate on, it because all that word is about you coming out of the wilderness, coming out of captivity, back into the promise. So God's calling them out. Amen. Actually, before you go to Zechariah, go to Isaiah 45. So what had happened was when Abraham met Melchizedek, Melchizedek recognized that Abraham was carrying the promises. And according to Hebrews, Melchizedek blessed Abraham, but it said the less was blessed of the better, or the greater in authority. Melchizedek carried a greater authority than even Abraham did. And when he released that blessing upon Abraham's seed, because he recognized Abraham was carrying that promise, right after that, God began to speak, kings are going to come out of your loins, because that kingly anointing was released. Melchizedek carried both the anointing of king and priest, both offices in one vessel. Very unique individual. Amen? And we trace that, and of course Judah caught the anointing. Judah caught the kingly anointing. All the kings came out of Judah. That's that whole lineage of the kingly anointing. Caleb was one, a great one. They didn't call him kings back then, but he was carrying it. Amen. Then David, then Solomon, Josiah, all these men. But what was unique about the kingly anointing all through the Old Testament is the priestly anointing moved with it in succession, in harmony. When you found a king, you found the office of a priest right next to it, sometimes in one vessel, sometimes in two, but that government of the king priest was there all through the Old Testament. Amen. And we trace that pretty heavily. Now we're going to bring this in to Zerubbabel and Joshua. Then I'm going to bring this into the New Testament today. All right. So Isaiah 45, 1 and 3. Now here they are in Babylon. They're waiting. God's spoken to them. He said, I'm bringing you out. I'm bringing you out. He's told us he's bringing us out. There's a brand new government emerging and coming forth. It will be released in the body of Christ. We're coming out of the captivity, spiritual captivity, for the full expression of the king-priest government in this hour. Amen. Breakthroughs like Sharon was talking about, we're going to happen all the time. That just doesn't happen, my friend. She contended for that. She released her words into that. She released her faith. She stood on that. The enemy came strong at her. I mean, for several years, I know she was in a major battle. But she stood and stood. And see, that's what happens. You move that out and God's blessing comes in. But God's government's coming in too, amen. Woo. Thus saith the Lord to his anointed, Isaiah 45. to Cyrus, whose right hand I have holden to subdue nations before him. I will loose the loins of kings and open before him the two-leaved gates, and the gates shall not be shut. Now, this is speaking directly of Cyrus taking down Babylon. God gave him a prophecy. You're going to come right through the gates of Babylon. They were having a big party that night, as a matter of fact, and the king left the gates open. And having a huge party. Nobody thought nobody would ever take Babylon down. You know, they used to run chariots on the top of the walls of Babylon because they were 18 foot wide. The walls were at the top, and they would have chariot races on the top of the walls of Babylon. Just amazing, amazing place. And he goes, I will loose the loins of kings to open before him the two-leaved gates, and the gates shall not be shut. I will go before thee. I'll make the crooked places straight. I'll break in pieces the gates of brass that have held you. I'll cut asunder the bars of iron that have bound you, and I will give thee the treasures of darkness, the hidden riches of secret places, that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which called be thy name. The Spirit of God's fallen on me. The Lord, which called thee by thy name, am the God of Israel. That treasures of darkness was speaking of the vaulted wealth underneath Babylon. Most amazing. We saw this Thursday night. But you know that wealth, you know what that wealth was? That was David's wealth. Under the vaults of Babylon. And we traced all that. From David, when he gave it to Solomon, and Solomon really exercised the greatest reign in all Old Testament history before his fall. And when he fell, all that wealth shifted to Tyre. The gates of Jerusalem were broken. Ezekiel 26, well, the Holy Ghost is in here right now. The gates of Jerusalem were broken and all that went into Tyre. And that's where you see the king of Tyre. Ezekiel 28, the devil himself. That's when he set up his reign over the global money supplies. Nebuchadnezzar now took down that natural stronghold. When he did, all that wealth shifted to Babylon. So it went from David. If you want to know the truth, it started back with Abraham. Mount Hebron, we can't get into all that, God. I'd be forever. We just got to go. If you want it, get it. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, if you want it, get it. But what happened was Nebuchadnezzar brought that wealth and he put it under Babylon in vaults. And when God, same time, all the children of Israel coming into captivity, isn't it amazing? For 70 years, they served in captivity, but the wealth of their nation was underneath them, and they didn't know. God watched over them. And the reason this is important, because God's going to release the wealth again for the apostolic government that's emerging. And what you're seeing in the excess and the manipulations in the body of Christ will soon, I don't know that it'll all come to an end because we've always seen this kind of thing, but I'll tell you there'll be another emerging government. You will not see that kind of manipulation, not anywhere in it. Amen. But it'll come into fullness. And while they're there, God raised another king, Cyrus. He said, it's time to release. See, this government had to release. There's these times that these king priest governments release. We're in that time right now. To this king priest government, and he calls Cyrus to come and he releases them. He says, I'll give you the vaulted wealth, the treasures of darkness, the hidden riches of secret place. I'll give you this, Cyrus, but I'm doing it for Jacob, my servant's sake. He goes on to say, in Israel, mine elect. He was doing it for the ones. Now, Zerubbabel was the king there. He had the natural succession of king. They wouldn't let him call him king because they were under another king, but so they called him governor instead. But he was Jehoiakim's grandson. And Joshua was the high priest, and God released them out of Babylon. See, when he released them, they were released with a grant. Listen, the apostolic government were released from a grant from heaven. Some of the greatest works that God's ever done, he funded them in advance. Amen? this kind of thing's happening. You got to get ready for this. I'm telling you, it's coming faster than you know. Amen. Go to Ezra chapter 3. I just want you to see this a minute. Ezra chapter 3. Oh, Lord, how could I possibly get all the way over there? You know, the thing about this, the revelation is it gets so deep sometimes. Do you want to pack it all in? You just can't. You can't. You have to wait till the next service. I mean, you want to just go there, you know. But the Lord wants to be thorough with this because he's laying the foundations of this government, both in the old and the new. And we're gonna at least take it to parts. We're gonna at least get it into the new again. Ezra chapter 3, verse 1. And when the seventh month was come, the children of Israel were in the cities. The people gathered themselves together as one man to Jerusalem. Oh, look at that one accord. Amen. It's that one accord. It's that one man. Then stood Joshua, the son of Jehozadak. This is the high priest. And Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel. Now his brethren, and builded the altar of God of Israel and the offer of burnt offerings therein. Now look at verse 6. So you have Joshua, the people, and Zerubbabel. Here God has his king-priest government. You've got the high priest, you've got the king, and the people. Here's this government in formation, and they're about to build a house again. When God gets ready to build, he sets the kings in, he sets the priests in. When there's the king-priest government, you're going to see the body flourish in a much greater dimension right now. One of the most predominant model right now in the body of Christ is a pastoral-led model. Do you understand that? That is the model of the church right now. And usually with pastors, they're going to have a pastoral heart. Amen. Praise God for that. And they're going to have giftings. And according to that gifting, that's what's sown in that body predominantly is what's on that pastor, because it's pretty much one person that's carrying, and whatever gifts on them, that's what that body will be developed in. Amen. That's a model, but the emerging model that's coming is the full government of God, the apostolic government, where you'll see all the flows of the apostolic, prophetic, pastor, evangelist, teacher, helps, governments, diversity of tongues. You're going to see the full government of God, but you'll also see the kingly anointing right alongside it. When this comes in, it'll be explosive and powerful, and it'll make a statement to the world. It's hard to say, well, what does that look like? Because it's emerging right now. When they were in Babylon, there was no king-priest government. Do you understand? They had to come out and begin to build again. Build according to the pattern. Build according to what you're seeing. And that's what we're looking into, a pattern right now that God's going to bring into the earth. Hallelujah. I know I'm going to be part of it. How many are going to be part of that? Hallelujah. Ooh. It's going to be powerful. God is shifting. You know, Bob Jones, somebody sent me a prophecy of him, and he prophesied this very thing last week. There's coming a brand new emerging government. He used the word government. Bobby Jean Merck came here last Sunday. First thing she came, God woke her up in the morning and said, "You're going to speak to kings this morning." This building don't look like it's housing any kings. Everything is a spiritual formation right now. It's foundational formation right now. And she started about kings and priests. I said, "Baba Jean, you know, when I went to lunch with her, I said, is God talking to you about kings and priests?" She goes, "No, I just picked all that up in the spirit." She goes, "I just had to say what he's telling me to say." And I started telling her, I said, "Well, here's what you were saying." You know, I was filling her, because she's picked it up purely in the spirit. Isn't that wonderful? Hallelujah. And so they're in one accord. Look at verse 6. And from the first day of the seventh month began they to burn offerings. Now, but the foundation of the temple of the Lord was not yet laid. Now, they're starting to build now. They've come out. Now, I want you to see this. Verse 7. And they gave money also unto the masons, the carpenters, meat and drink. Now, we're not just building natural buildings around here. That's not what the kingdom's about. You got to transfer your mentality, all this, into living stone. See? We're building living stone. More importantly, we're building in the living stones in Zion, or in the right hand of God. God is constructing this tabernacle in the heavenlies, and his people are coming up in this hour. Amen. And they gave money also unto the masons, the carpenters, meat, drink, and oil, and them Zidon, and to them of Tyre, to bring cedar trees from Lebanon to the Sea of Joppa, according, look at this, according to the grant that Cyrus, the king of Persia, had given them. They had their funding up front. You know why? There was a kingly anointing in full operation, in full bloom. We see this. The church will morph into a brand new operation in the Spirit. Now go to Zechariah 4 real quick. This chapter has a very deep place, you know, for me personally. The Lord gave me this chapter 20 years ago when I had my Pampers on, you know. And I had no idea what he was saying to me. But he gave me, he said, this chapter is the chapter for your entire life, is what he told me. I'm like, how can a candlestick with two olive trees and continual oil and a guy named Zerubbabel and Joshua, how can that be a statement for my life? I'll tell you, I promise you, I walked around with this chapter. He said, and you know what he actually told me? He said, this chapter is all you need to understand the fullness of what I'm calling you to. I'm like, Zerubbabel? Who names somebody Zerubbabel? I didn't know who Zerubbabel was. Golden candlestick and two olive trees that empty golden oil out of themselves. And I'm like, how can that be a picture of anything? Do you know that he had to build the image of that for 20-something years, successfully building one revelation after another to understand the depth that's in this chapter? And it's so amazing. I understand it now. Hallelujah. Now, let's just pick up verse 11 for time's sake. Then answered I, but you are to read Zechariah 4 this week. It's a phenomenal, phenomenal revelation of the king priest government. You know what? I'm going to back up and get into it a little bit. Zechariah 4, verse 1. And the angel that talked with me came again and waked me as a man that wakened out of sleep and said unto me, what seest thou? I said, I have looked and behold a candlestick of gold with a bowl on the top of it and seven lamps. And seven pipes to the seven lamps, which are upon the top thereof, and two olive trees, one upon the right side and the other upon the left side. And so I answered and spake unto the angel that talked with me, saying, what are these, my Lord? And the angel talked with me and said, knowest thou know what these be? And I said, no. And he answered and spake, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might. This is a scripture you'll recognize. It's the only one I recognized. Not by power, but by my spirit, say the Lord. What I'll build will not be by human might. It will not be by human power. It will be by my spirit. I will build a candlestick that will express the full revelation of the seven spirits of God, the sevenfold church, the seven continents of the earth. It will light the fires in the seven continents. The continual oil of the king and the priest will release into this candlestick. And it will express the government of God, and it will light the government of God in the seven continents of the earth. It will light it in the sevenfold churches. It will light it through the seven spirits of God. Well, who art thou, O great mountain? And though there'll be great resistance, if I'd have known back then, I probably wouldn't have signed up. Who art thou, O great mountain? Listen, you're not ever going to do anything for God if they're not great mountains that present themselves to you. You grow through the mountains of resistance that come into your life out of weakness. You're made strong. If you're in the midst of a mountain, you might as well know for a certainty you're called to overcome that. Amen? Glory to God. If you have it easy, you'll be shallow. Joseph's brothers had it easy. They were shallow. Joseph did not, and he had great depth. Amen. Who art thou, great mountain? Before Zerubbabel thou shalt become leveled ground before this vision. And he'll bring forth the headstone thereof, shouting, grace, grace. Everyone say grace. grace, grace. This government will come forth by grace. These mountains will be moved by the grace, grace, grace under the mountain. Moreover, the word of the Lord said, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundations of this house. When he speaks of house, he's speaking of government. He's speaking of kingdom. Amen. Moreover, his hands will finish it, and you will know the Lord of hosts has sent me unto you. For who has despised, here's another one of the scriptures you might recognize, who has despised the day of small beginnings? Listen, it doesn't matter how small of a thing begins. When the multiplication of this government releases, when the oil that's in this chapter from the olive trees begin to flow, that government will flourish so fast, so wide, so quick. Do you know in Azusa Street, in a matter of several, it was really, there's a window there of about a year and a half, 52 nations, when the baptism of the Holy Spirit fell through that portal, 52 nations, it released into 52 nations. Before that door could be closed, God had already got it in. God doesn't need very long to get it in. When he gets it in, it multiplies so fast, so quick, you can't even hardly, even with all those problems they had with Azusa, I'm telling you, God did it. You're a recipient of it right now. Things we get so freely now, we can get born again. That had to be restored by Luther. You know, justification by faith. They get filled with the Holy Ghost. That was restored in Azusa. Those things all can happen in one day now. Took 500 years for God to get that back into the earth. This government, when this window comes, it will release. Whew. When it does, everything will take a paradigm shift in the body of Christ. Ministry will be of a different order. The order of Melchizedek, a king-priest government, operating in the fullness of God. Amen? Well, say, I don't understand that. Well, just hang out and you will. Verse 10. For who hath despised the day of small things, for they shall rejoice, shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel with those seven. Those seven are the seven spirits of God. The kingly anointing is being built by the seven spirits of God. The counselors shall not be removed in a corner any longer, but that eye shall see your counselors, and your ear shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way. This will be built by the counsel from the seven spirits of God. It's part of the operation of the candlestick. It can't be built by former counsel. Sometimes if you're called to bring a new pattern in, you can't just sit in the old pattern and try to put that in. We did that for years. Man, we saw something we like. We say, we'll just do that. Man, works good for you. Just stick it right here. Plant. And the anointing of that thing started flourishing. Everybody going, hallelujah, until God said, that's not your DNA. Now you got your DNA and you got someone else's DNA. That's called hybrid DNA. When you got hybrid DNA going on, you got problems. Because they all start growing up. You know why? Because you planted it. Well, I planted it. Chuck planted it. So, see, it got planted. When you got hybrid DNA planted, what'll happen is it'll be like Ishmael and Isaac when they start growing up. They'll start fighting with each other. They won't fight each other when they're babes, when they start, but when it goes up, they'll start fighting. And you don't know why they're fighting. You don't know the source of all the contention and disharmony. Because when God sets something, he sets it in harmony. He sets it with wisdom. And he sets his glory upon it. So there's always harmony in God's government until you start adding to it. When you start adding to it, you get in trouble. And we didn't realize, we didn't know what we were doing. You know, we had our pampers on. And there's two things that God can change. The fire of God can come and he can burn up what's not of your DNA. Well, when he does, there's a lot of people that get scorched, myself included. Amen. You got to make it through that fire, or he's got that winnowing fork. It's a skilled fork that goes in and cuts out what doesn't belong. Sometimes when things that are cut out that doesn't belong, innocent people get affected by that. Very innocent people. Sometimes they never get over things like that. Amen. But you have to go on in the preservation of the DNA. And you've got to keep looking to heaven And you have to build by the seven spirits of God. You got to build according to what God's saying and what he's showing. So what does it look like? Well, what did it look like to you when you weren't saved and you were about to come to the altar to get born again? How would you possibly know what was on the other side of a born again experience? When you're walking in one realm, you can't always see. You can just see it by revelation. But when you get over and God starts expressing and say, oh, that's what that looks like. Me comprendo, Señor. You know, hallelujah. Or yo comprendo, Señor. I hope I got that right for the Spanish folks in here. But see, you look at it from a distance, see, but then when you come into it, it starts taking on its wings and the Word becomes flesh, see. The Word in you becomes flesh. God puts, and he orders, and he starts clothing that Word with reality. Amen? When the Word becomes flesh, it comes from the kingdom within you into the kingdom of this world system. Y'all with me? Are you breathing? Amen. Verse 11, then I said unto him, what are these two olive trees? How is God going to explain what olive trees are 20 years ago? These, you know what these two olive trees? These are very important. These are huge. Then answered I and said, what are these two olive trees upon the right side of the candlestick and upon the left? And I answered again and said to him, what be these two olive branches which through the two golden pipes empty the golden oil out of themselves? And he answered me and said, you see the golden oil? That golden oil, when it begins to flow, it never stops flowing. It's a continual oil. It's an eternal oil. When the government bursts, the oil begins to flow. It will not stop flowing. Amen? He answered me and said, knowest thou not what these be? And I said, no. Well, if he didn't know, I didn't know. I'm still in the same company as the Zerubbabel back then. Do you know that Zerubbabel did not fulfill his mandate? They built a temple, but it never came into fullness. Did you know that? And he said unto me, knowest thou not what these be? And I said, no. And he said, these are the two anointed ones. One translation says, these are the two sons of fresh oil that stand by and assist the Lord of the whole earth in his endeavor. What's the Lord of the whole earth doing? He's going to bring a government in, and he has two olive trees. Zerubbabel is one of them. Joshua is the other. Zerubbabel is the kingly anointing, and Joshua's the priest. Here this government is standing, and he stands between the two olive trees. They're an extension of him and his mantle because he is the king priest. I'll show you. It was all this was enveloped up in him. And these olive trees release, see, and that government releases. And then it lights the candlestick through the seven spirits of God, and the expression of God's government lights the earth up. Amen. It lights the sevenfold churches, and it lights the seven continents. I remember when the Lord, my first revelation of the seven candlestick, the sevenfold candlestick, it was back 20 years ago when you still had to call the library to get information. I mean, the internet was just coming out. I didn't know nothing about, I didn't even know what a C drive. I mean, when I first come into ministry, I was having to learn self-taught computer, 1 or 2 in the morning, and I'd call Microsoft. I'd call them all the time. I'd call them up, and I'd say, okay, how do I do this? She goes, well, you need to go and do your C drive. And I said, what's that? She goes, oh, dear. She goes, oh, dear. I didn't know nothing. Well, back this further, I didn't know nothing about nothing. And so the Lord speaks to me, and he said, the first revelation of the sevenfold candlesticks was the seven continents of the earth. The oil will flow. I said, no, it's not. There's 9 continents in the earth. I know. And I'm having this argument with the Lord. And I'm telling you right then, I call the library. And I call the library. I said, could you open up one of those books there in the library? I said, well, you got to start somewhere with God. You know, we didn't have internet access those days. You just plug that in, get that, you know. So I called her. I said, yes, sir, there's 7. I said, no, there's 9. She goes, no, sir, there's seven. I said, name them. She named them off. I said, okay, there's seven. I said, all right, God, you're right. There's seven continents. He goes, yes, the oil's going to flow into the seven. I'm going to light the seven continents up with a king priest government. He didn't tell me back then because I wouldn't even know what a king priest government was. But he said, the oil from the olive trees are going to flow into the seven continents of the earth. I said, wow. All right. Go over to Zechariah 6. This brings a great. Now, before I do that, I want you to go to Haggai. We're going to have to stick right in here. We're looking at this government today. We're going to look at Zerubbabel and Joshua's government. Now, Haggai is a book where they begin to build and they encounter resistance. God, imagine that. Building something for God, you start encountering resistance. Now, God tells them in Babylon, you're going to leave and you're going to build a temple. All right? He tells them, you're going to go to build a temple. And they begin to build and they encounter all kinds of resistance. They just quit building. You ever seen that happen? Somebody's get in. Listen, God does not take it lightly when you back up, withdraw, and turn aside. That does not get God's attention. You cannot be like that. You got to stand your ground. It doesn't matter what you're going, what kind of violence. The kingdom of heaven will suffer violence. Your position, your calling, and your destiny will suffer that. You got to keep going. You can't afford to turn aside, turn back, or draw back. Ephraim lost the ark that was in Shiloh because he drew back and turned aside. God said, because you turned aside, the ark will go to another. The ark will never remain with those that draw back. Turn aside. You got to press and press and press. You got to move forward. Problem is your dominion mechanism. If you don't know this, when you have that dominion mechanism, the way it operates, if you draw back, guess what? Everything draws back with it. Because as a man thinketh in the domain of his heart, so is he. Your dominion mechanism operates off your belief system. So when you're moving in God, things start happening. When there's expectancy, things start happening. When there's depression and doom, despair, agony on me, deep, dark depression, excessive misery. When you walk around like that, self-pity, you draw all that into your dominion. You draw all that into your dominion. When you walk around full and expectant, when you walk around confident in the Lord, not self-confident, but confident in the Lord and expectant, and you know that God's going to do something with expectancy. Goodness and mercy are following me. The glory is going before me. He daily loads me with benefits. When you've got that going, it's in your mouth and it's in your belief system. It gets drawn in, see. The blessing is, I mean, there's just something about the kingdom that just latches on to something like that. God will latch on. But you walk around and go, oh me, oh my. When God, when, why God, why me? How come? Let me tell you something. Only when you're a babe will God respond to you in self-pity. Come times for you to grow up, amazing. I just know when I have these conversations with God, I said, I know you ain't going to respond to me, but I'm going to tell you anyway. And he never does. Not anymore. Boy, when he quit doing that, I had to adjust my behavior because I used to, you know, having it out, you know, and he'd do something for me because I was a little kid, you know, I was a babe. And I try to bring that behavior back into him again, you know, self-pity, you know. It don't work. After your time to grow up, God just, nope, that ain't going to do. He'll learn. He'll learn. Gabriel's like, Father, he's getting pretty bad. He'll learn. You got to learn. You got to bring the Word of God. You got to be full of the Word of God. You got to keep your heart with all diligence. You can't afford to be lazy in this hour. And you think, well, it just happened. No, it won't just happen. Not when you're birthed something. You can't birth it in the natural, but in the spirit, you have to employ the weaponry of your warfare. Amen? I don't know how I got off in that, but it's good. And so Haggai, oh yeah, they were in difficult situations. So God had to send them prophets, stir them up. Zechariah and Haggai had to come stir up Zerubbabel and Joshua. Sometimes you need some stirring. Amen. Go ahead and come stir them up because they were building. They quit building. Well, you know what you do when you quit building? Go start building your own house. That's what they were doing. He goes, oh, you that dwell in your sealed houses. He didn't care if they had houses. They quit building his. And when you quit building his, you go back to your house because you go back into a life dominated by self. See, you when you step out of the kingdom, it's just about you. There's a whole realm of the gospel like that right now. When it becomes a subservient to you, it's out of order. God will give you so much. When you're building his house, you can't imagine what he'll do to your house. But they start building their house. He said, you dwell in your sealed houses. My house is lying waste. See, they had to come stir them up because they got out of order. And God got them back in. He got them back to building again. All right. Now go to Haggai chapter 2. Shaka. I'm in the groove. I'm where I need to be today. I can feel it. Haggai, it's a new Bible. Still getting acclimated to it. You know, you get a certain Bible, you kind of know where everything's on the page, you know, and you open that new one, like, where'd that go? Chapter 2, verse 3. He's speaking to Zerubbabel in verse 2, and we'll go to verse 3. Who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory? He's speaking to Solomon's house here, all right? He's speaking to Solomon. He says, who is left among you that saw his house? Hallelujah, forever. Who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory? How do you see it now? See, that's Solomon's house. Is it not in your eyes a comparison of as it is nothing? Yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, and be strong, O Joshua. See, king and priest, king and priest. That was a pattern that's been set up all through. And we're going to see that our king priest, Christ, inherited it all and took it into Zion. And he administrates and rules from there. And when we go there, that's where it gets released. Is it not in your eyes a comparison? Be strong, Zerubbabel. Be strong, O Joshua, and all you people of the land. And work, for I am with you, saith the Lord, according to the word that I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, so my spirit remained among you. For thus saith the Lord of hosts. Now I'm going to tell you right now, this is where I believe we are right now, as a nation, as a people, and as a church. Amen. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once it is a little while, I will shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry lands. See, the kingdoms are shaking now. The governments are shaking now. Everything's shaking right now. There's no confidence in anything. You can go from nation to nation to nation. There's no confidence in men. There's no confidence in government. God's shaking the foundations because he's getting ready for the rise of his one to come forth. And the nations will know it because they don't have such strength, resolve, stability, power, might. And dominion. The church will morph very soon into a powerless institution, into a full-blown expression of the Father's glory in the earth. I will shake all nations, and the treasures of all nations, verse 7, will come into my house. Listen. When the king priest anointing's coming, you're going to see gold and glory go together. The problem with gold without glory is gold will corrupt you. It'll corrupt you because your flesh will attach to it. But when the glory and they're running together, it's the expression of heaven. Not every generation gets the full expression of a king priest government. Do you understand that? I'll shake all nations. The treasures of all nations will come in. I will fill this house with glory. The silver is mine and the gold is mine. Oh, what do you see? Verse 9. Because he was speaking to them. He said, in the glory of this latter house, who's he speaking to? Zerubbabel, Joshua. children of Israel came out of Babylon. They were building. He says, the glory of this latter-day house will be greater than the former, which was Solomon's. And in this Lord place, I will give prosperity and peace. Do you know that never happened? In fact, when it was finished, the men that saw it in its former estate before Nebuchadnezzar took it, they wept. Some of the old timers saw the remains of Solomon's temple and they saw this one and they wept. They said, this one would be greater though, because that was speaking of another government. Do you understand that? Zerubbabel and Joshua's house, that house during that time never came to fullness. But it said it would right here, because this was speaking of another time, of another government that would emerge, ours. Isn't that awesome? Zechariah chapter 6. Listen, when God's planting, he's not interested in multitudes when he's planting. Most of the time when God's planting, he's digging a foundation. Nobody even sees the building until the foundation's laid. You know that? You can drive around. They'll be maybe working months and months and months on a foundation. You're like, what are they building there? You don't see anything. It's all underground, see? When that thing gets ready to come up, you ever seen one of those? I mean, there'll be 6 months, they're digging, and all of a sudden something comes right out of the ground. Like, oh my God, where did that come from? That thing just shot up overnight. That's when everybody jumps in and said, hey, look at that. That's what a lot of people give into when they see something that's already moving. And, you know, when they jump, oh, I see activity. But sometimes when you're giving in to the foundation of something, that's where it's all at, see. A lot of people don't like to do that in foundation work. They like it when it gets up above ground where you can see it, because they're natural. They have to see with their eyes. But if you have the sight of heaven and the sea and hear what he's saying, you can see what's going on down there in the foundation. You can see the glory of what's coming out of that foundation, see. Zechariah 6, verse 9. The word of the Lord came unto me, saying, take of them of the captivity, even Heldaiah, Tobijah, and Jediah. Now, these men come out of captivity, all right? They're coming out of Babylon. These men come up out of Babylon, all right? They're part of the captivity of Babylon. And says, which are come from Babylon. And come thou the same day. They brought something from Babylon. See, they're bringing the wealth up out of Babylon, all right? Praise God. Go into the house of Josiah, the son of Zephaniah, and take the silver and gold and make a crown. So they bring the silver and gold out of Babylon. They're bringing an offering, but it's not out of the church. See, that kingly anointing births. Right now, the church is doing the best she can. I'm going to tell you right now, all the wealth is not in the church. It's in the world system. And that wealth's going to come up out of Babylon. All right? Now watch this. Take gold and silver. Make a crowns. Whew. And set them upon the head. People just don't know what's going on here. Why would he do this? He takes Joshua. Now Joshua was the high priest. He said, now set that crown. Wealth from the world systems made into a crown. And set it upon the high priest. He's crowning a king priest government. See, right now the body of Christ needs the kingly crown set up on them. When they do, they'll come into an expression they never had before. So, well, I don't know what that means. Well, don't worry about it. You'll see it happen. Well, the Spirit of God will have to show you these things. When Jesus walked around and taught, about half the people left him because they didn't understand. He said, unless you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you have no part from me. And then they go, I'm out of here, because they could not discern what he was saying. Amen. We have to be taught by the Holy Spirit in these things. And he says he took this crown, he set this upon the priestly office and crowned it because it was speaking of somebody. Now watch this. Speak unto him, saying, verse 12, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, behold, the man whose name is the branch. Who do you think that is? Christ! He shall grow up out of this place. He will grow up out of this order. He will grow up out of this government. When the priest is crowned with a kingly anointing, he will release from that government. That's why this crowning's coming. And when he gets released up out of this government, you'll see an expression of the kingdom. Not every generation gets that kind of expression. Ours is going to get it. David and Solomon got it. Joshua and Josiah got it. Early church got half of it. The Latter-day Church will get the fullness of it. Watch this. He will grow up out of this place and he will build the temple. Where do you think he's building? In the right hand. Even he shall build the temple of the Lord, and he will bear the glory. He shall sit and rule upon his throne. He will be a priest upon a king's throne. You see that? And the council of peace shall be between them both. Between both who? The king and the priest. The council of harmony. Really what that means, the government of harmony will be between the two offices. Isn't that awesome? And the crown shall be to Helam, Tobijah, and Jediah, and Hen, the son of Zephaniah, for a memorial in the temple of the Lord. Now watch this, verse 15. And they that are afar off shall come and build in the temple. When this crowning starts taking place, the nations will come and start building fast. When this government gets set in place and the order of it, multiplication. Amen. Go to Genesis 49. Now you're going to understand this scripture. I love this stuff. We're looking in a government that's coming in the earth, my friends. God would not have you here if he didn't have you a part of that. You understand that? He wouldn't have put you here. Last thing I want to be is caught up in an old order where God has moved on and we're in an order. He's there, but it's a residual. You know, God's moves, you know. You're in the wilderness, you decide you don't move with him, you get baked. Genesis 49, verse 10. I'm not going to get baked. I'm staying under the cloud by day and fire by night. Genesis 49, 10. Now, he's speaking to Judah, all right? This is Judah's blessing that came up out of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, see. Judah caught the kingly anointing. Now, we got into this very heavily a couple of messages ago. But I want you to see something. Genesis 49, verse 10. Verse 8, Judah, art he whom the brethren shall praise. Thy hand shall be in the neck of thine enemies. Thy father's children shall bow down before thee. Now, he was given that blessing, okay? And he said, Judah is a lion's whelp from the prey, my son, thou art gone up and stooped down. He's couched as a lion. Now look at verse 10. I want you to see this. Really powerful right here. Get this. The scepter, or the kingly scepter, the kingly office, shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come. Do you get this? Until Shiloh come. What's Shiloh? Christ. When he comes, and unto him, when Shiloh comes, shall the gathering of the people be. See, that kingly anointing was staying with Judah until he came, and all of it God enveloped into him. The full king priest government, he inherited the entire government when Shiloh came. He inherited the high priest after the order of Melchizedek. He inherited the scepter, and it came into fullness. And when he received it, amen, he took it into the right hand of the Father. And that's where we are right now, amen? And that's where we're going to build. And that's where that government will release from. Amen. Stand to your feet. Hallelujah. Father, thank you for your word today. Thank you for your people. Thank you for the government that is emerging, Father, right before our eyes. The birth of a king-priest government, Father. The birth, Father. Shiloh has come. Jesus, you are the high priest that passed into the heavens. You're a king. You're a high priest that sits upon a king's throne. And we have your DNA in us. And we are building once again after the order of Melchizedek. We bless your people today. We say, go in the name of the Lord.